so wonderful the way the Lord has been drawing near to us this morning. And it's so wonderful these truths have been brought forth this morning already. Turning our eyes toward Jesus, keeping our eyes on Jesus. And you know, it's so important for us to latch on to those things and keep them before us, not just when we're here in this room, but throughout our day. The Lord brings these things to our attention because He wants to make that our portion. He wants us to keep our eyes on Him all the time. It's not simply that we want to momentarily look away from the things that are troubling us and see the Lord and sort of breathe a sigh of relief. Oh, I can feel good for a little while. And then leave, take up our burdens with us again and leave, right? No. But the Lord, as we've been hearing this morning already, He wants to come into our situations. He wants to overrule in our lives. He wants to come and take charge. And as we keep our eyes on Him, as we look to Him, He does that. He does just that. And it's so wonderful. And we can look back and see how the Lord has kept His hand on us, how the Lord has helped us through, how He's orchestrated things for us in our lives. And it's so wonderful just to see Jesus all the time. We can never get tired of considering that idea, right? Of seeing Jesus all the time. Now, there's a very simple little word that I wanted to share with you this morning. And it's something that I have to admit I had just kind of glossed over many times when I looked into the Word of God. But just recently, it was brought to my attention how these simple words are found in a bunch of different places. And so those words, it's not that you need to necessarily even look at a specific spot in your Bible to find them this morning, but if you open to any one of the Apostle Paul's epistles, you will probably find these words or something similar to them. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm embarrassed to say that. I've never really paid attention to the fact that those words are in basically every letter that he wrote. If you find one that it's not there at all, please let me know. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The letters to Timothy included mercy in there too. Grace and mercy and peace. And so I think it's kind of important for us to munch on those words a little bit if they're in so many different places. You know, we can look at that, and the reason I said I've glossed over it for so many years is because you look at those words and it sounds like it's just sort of a pastoral greeting. Like instead of saying, hey, how you doing? Say, grace and peace be unto you. But it's so much more than that. Those words are so packed with meaning. It's like a pronouncement of grace and peace unto the people of God from their beloved Apostle Paul. And when you think about the Apostle Paul, he in his life, he was a striking example of the grace of God. We think of Paul as being this guy who really had it all together all the time and was just a mountaintop kind of guy, a victorious Christian, and he was indeed. You look at his writings and the power of God flowing through those words. It just shows what God had done for that man. But he was indeed an example of God's grace in a person's life right from the beginning, abounding grace. And he never forgot that himself. He mentions that, how he considered himself the least of his brothers, the chief of sinners, the least of the saints. And he's not just being, you know, trying to be humble by saying that, like, oh, well, yeah, I'm nobody. No, but I think he really remembered what God had brought him out of and how God had so transformed him by his grace when he was fighting against God and against the church. That's when God came and slowed him down and stopped him in his tracks. And you know, since Paul is someone that we read about and we read his writings, it's kind of easy to sort of forget that Saul and Paul were the same guy. I know it's easy for me to forget that and just kind of think, well, Saul was this guy that was persecuting the church, and then he's sort of out of the picture, and now Paul's there, you know, almost as if it was a different person. But he was someone that God had so transformed. And yet I wonder, you know, I wonder if at times Paul remembered that past. I wonder if he remembered how he persecuted the church, and I wonder if he was, in a way you could say, almost haunted by memories of that. I wonder if he ever woke up in the night having a dream about seeing some face of some person that was on their way to prison or death because of him. And yet he remembered God's grace in his life. And he could see that, God, you've been so merciful to me, even though that was my past. That was who I was back then. You've so transformed me by your grace. And so he was such a shining example of the grace of God to the sinner. If God could save the Apostle Paul, he can save anybody. And he testified to that and about God's saving grace in the book of Ephesians in the second chapter, where he says to them that we are, by grace, you have been saved through faith. It is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. It's by God's grace that we are saved through faith. He brings us to that point of faith in him. But we are saved. We are brought to that point by his grace. He's the one that reaches out to us while we are yet sinners. So there's that wonderful, wonderful, abundant, saving grace that the apostle had experienced and that he testified to here. And so that's part of this, what's wrapped into the meaning of this word grace, which is the grace and peace being unto you. God's saving grace, God's wonderful, abounding grace. And yet there's also the other notions of the grace of God, too, wrapped up in that word. How in the book of Titus, we read there about the grace of God bringing salvation to all men in the second chapter. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous of good works. So we see that other side, other facet of the grace of God. It's there to bring salvation to us and to teach us. It's a transforming grace that not only transforms us from the guilt of sin, from the guilt of our past, but he's working in us day by day to teach us, to show us, to help us, to turn away from the things of this world. If we say that we're saved by grace, there should be a difference in our lives. There should be a break with the things in this world. To say that, oh, we're saved by grace, and we love Jesus, and he's taken away our sins, and we can you know, be all into our worship, and that's great. But then if we walk out of church and we're no different from the rest of the world, what good is that really done us? You know? He's bringing us out of worldly passions, ungodliness, things that turn our attention back away from him again. He wants to get those things out of our lives. And his grace is there to help us in that way, to help us to live for him, to help us to be a people who are zealous for good works, to be a people who want to please Jesus, a people to whom that is important, to please him. And so that's another part of his grace, a part of what is wrapped into that word, grace to you. God's grace is there for you to be saved and to live a victorious Christian life. And then there's also the side of his grace, the facet that relates to his all sufficiency to help us through, to continue to give us grace in our daily lives, to continue to help us in every situation that we find ourselves in, every difficulty. We find in this book of 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter there, that verse that says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things and at all times, you may abound in every good work." Now, of course, this verse you can see here is in the context of giving and how God is able to make his grace supply our every need so that we can be generous too and abound in these good works. But there's truths there, principles there that can be broadly applied, I believe. That God's grace is there to, and it's sufficient for everything, every challenge that we find ourselves facing. Every group of campers that might come to us for us to take care of for 2 weeks, there'll be some challenges there. You know, it's interesting when you're a counselor, you suddenly have maybe 8 kids in your life that you've never met before, and now you're going to be their shepherd for 2 weeks. And some, it's, you know, very easy and they're very cooperative, and that's great. Others need a little more help and attention and guidance. And, you know, others can really be difficult. And you never know how things are going to work out until you get there, right? And yet, within any circumstance in that whole realm, God is able. God's grace is there. God's grace is sufficient for every interaction with every camper. I don't know, I'm just kind of singling that out, but in all of our lives, every situation that we find ourselves in, no situation that we find ourselves in takes God by surprise. And God's grace is there. God knows why he brings these things into our lives when he does. And he's there with his grace to help us through and to help us learn through those times, through those challenges. And so there's that aspect of God's grace. Abounding grace, saving grace, teaching grace, helping grace, and abundant, all-sufficient grace for every trial, every temptation, every difficulty. And that's the grace of God that the Apostle Paul is pronouncing upon the people. And he says, grace to you and peace. So there's that idea that those things are related to grace and peace. They are two distinct things, but there's also a flow there, where that grace of God leads us into that peace. First of all, of course, it brings us into peace with God through bringing us salvation, and it also brings us into peace in God when we know that our God is able for every need, for every challenge. So he brings us into his peace. So grace to you and peace flows. And also within peace, it's something that he wants to bring into our lives, not just to help us to feel good for a minute and then forget, but he wants that to be our portion day by day. He has that life for us, living in his peace. When we look at Philippians chapter 4, there's a couple of verses there that I'll just mention in this last thing here. Chapter 4, verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What a wonderful, powerful promise that is. As we bring our needs to him, as we look to him, as we're not anxious about these things that come our way, that surprise us maybe, we bring them to him in prayer with thanksgiving. And the peace of God. We can count on that peace coming into our souls as we look to our God in faith, knowing that he is all-sufficient for every need. He will indeed bring us into that peace. And why does that peace surpass all understanding? Because it doesn't make sense in that moment, in that situation where it seems like there's no way out and it seems that there's no human way to solve that problem. We can have that peace that passes understanding. It surpasses it completely because God is in charge. And God wants that to be our portion, not just in that moment to help us breathe again, but because he wants that to guard our hearts and our minds. That's an ongoing experience that God wants to bring us into, of living in his presence, keeping our eyes on him as we've been here. He will make that our portion day by day, that will keep our hearts. There will be something in our hearts that cannot be moved. We can be shocked by things that happen to us, but there's a deep peace in our hearts that doesn't get moved by the things that come our way because we have him, because we have his peace. And so let's take that. Let's take that with us today. Grace and peace from God the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll just mention this yet. The last Sunday that our brother Eddie was with us in January of last year, he was introducing to us the first few verses of the book of Titus. And, of course, you find in those first few verses those words, grace and peace. And he spoke that day of the abundant grace of God in the Apostle Paul's life. And as he was wrapping that up, brother Eddie sort of left that day as his benediction to us, grace and peace. From God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was the last Sunday that he was with us. So just kind of a nice memory of that, and it sort of relates to these words. But let's take God's grace and his peace and walk in that and believe him to keep us day by day. Amen.
Amen.